Serving the Space Coast with the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are tuned in to 1510 AM, WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, Merritt Island, Titusville, and the beaches, FM 94.7.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio Program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 today. We're going through the story of King Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah and how literally God had them praise their way to a military victory. And that's how important being a person of praise can be. It can turn a hopeless situation, which is what they were facing, into a glorious testimony. So today we're going to be there, but I would like to invite you out to our services tonight. I'm going to be teaching this evening and would love to have you come and visit. We have a class for kids on Wednesday night. We have a class for adults. Next Wednesday, the young adult class and the adult class are both going to be meeting together. And so the person who teaches that class on Wednesday nights is going to be teaching the adult Bible study. My vocal cords are going to get a rest next Wednesday evening. So if you do not have a church in the area, we would love to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. Our church has got some exciting things that are going on, and we would love for you to be able to benefit from some of those things and participate in some of those things. Maybe God would have you become a part of Merritt Assembly of God so you could not only be blessed, but you could also be a blessing. That's what our mission statement is. And so today, tonight, 7 p.m., we'd love to have you come and be a part of that. Should be parking available either out in front of the church or in the church parking lot behind the back of our fellowship hall. There's parking available. So want to take you back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We've been talking about how Jehoshaphat was praying with the people of Judah and that they acknowledged generational covenant relationship with God, that he was God in heaven. He was God over the kingdoms of the nations. He was God of power and might that were irresistible to any enemy. No enemy would be able to prevail against him. And not only was he a generational covenant God, he was their covenant God, and that he had driven out the descendants from the promised land, that it was a covenant promise that he had made to Abraham, his friend. And that's what we had talked about yesterday, that we would love to have that title of being a forever friend of God. He said that the land that had been given to the children of Israel and now the tribe of Judah, that they had made the most of that. They had developed it into a place where they could abide, and they built a sanctuary where God could be worshiped. And it was a place that they could call on his name in times of adversity, and he would hear and he would save. So those are things that have all been said up to this point. Verse number 10 is where we are going to begin reading today. It marks a transition point in Jehoshaphat's prayer. He says, "And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir," that would be Edom, "whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. That's where we're going to stop the reading for right now. As Jehoshaphat is praying, he says, God, we have some enemies that have gathered. They want to evict us out of the land that you have given to us. They want their will over your will. And, you know, the will is an interesting thing. Let me spend just a moment here to talk about will. And that is, we all have a will. We have been given free will to choose whether to obey God or not to obey God. There's some things that we prefer. It works out well for our family or our friends or whatever. But as believers, we, like Jesus, are supposed to pray, not my will, but thy will be done. Here's what I would like, but God, what I like isn't the most important. The most important thing is, what is your will in this situation? And I can tell you that as someone who has lived to make the will of God my priority, there's been a lot of times when I had to pray my will into subjection to what God's will was. And so there's some exciting things that are going to be happening at Merit Assembly of God, and I'll tell you how these things came to be. There was a lot of praying that was going on, and there were some things that my wife, you know, she was in agreement with me. This is what we want, and some other we're going to be adding some staff at Merit Assembly of God. That's what's going to happen. And we have tried to add staff a number of times throughout our the last several years. In 2021, one of our big time helpers moved to Oklahoma, and it, for the last 4 years, it's been quite a ministry load at church. Plus here, we've done some things that God laid on our hearts, and so we reached out to multiple people or someone, and it almost always had to do with one particular ministry or another one particular one, and every time God shut those doors. In Revelation, I've been teaching that Jesus is the one who can open a door no one can shut, and he can shut a door that no one can open. And the people that we had reached out to here, I had found out from someone else that they were trying to hire them as well. And there was a number of different possibilities that they had set before them, and they were praying, God, we have our preference, but we want your will. Whatever that is, that's what we want. And so that's the way my wife and I were praying. That's the way my daughter and her husband and kids were praying. And God has seen fit to make a way for them to become part of what we're doing. And so their church had a transition, and my daughter and her family, they stayed, and they continued to serve as an interim pastor, and the time came for a shift in that location, and they went on a vacation. They said, "We're praying, and we will let you know." And I will tell you, it's so hard to say, "God, we really want this, but more than what we want your will to be done." That was what my wife and I was praying. That was what our board was praying. That was what our daughter and her family were praying. And come September, we're going to see a new season going forth at Merit Assembly of God, for which we're really, really excited. When Jehoshaphat is praying, he says, "God, you, by your will, you would not let us attack the people of Ammon, the people of Moab, or the people of Edom." So when you set the boundary, when you established your will that you did not want us to invade their land, we didn't do it. We turned away from them. We didn't attack them. We didn't pass through their land. We did not destroy them. And so we did exactly what you wanted us to do. And now here they are attacking us. I wish that I could tell you that if you do the will of God, that the other people around you are going to embrace the will of God as well, and they're going to treat you the way that God wants you to be treated. I can't make that promise to you in a fallen world. I can make that promise to you in heaven, that in heaven it's going to be all blessing, no cursing. It's going to be all holiness, no sin. It's going to be a glorious, glorious environment. But there are some people who, when you have treated them well, they may still treat you badly. When that happens, do what Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah did, and that's you begin to pray to God. He said, "Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your position, which you have given us to inherit." And what he's saying is they're trying to impose their will over your will. And God, we're crying out to you, God, will you not judge them? So the interesting thing about when you leave judgment in the hands of God is God's going to do it perfectly. He's going to do it without emotion. He's going to do it in a righteous and true manner. I can tell you that it's a glorious thing when you appeal to the highest level of judgment in the land. Oh God, will you not judge them? God, you set boundaries for us and we did not cross them. But now those people who we did not do harm to, now they are trying to do us harm. God, we need you to make a judgment in this situation. So, where did he go from that? He begins to describe their situation. This is what he says, verse number 12. "For we have no power against this great multitude." If you remember, we talked earlier about not having the resources to solve the problem. I can tell you that God has all of the resources that are needed to bring about his will, his purpose, his victory. God always leads his people in triumphal procession. When there are limitations of natural resources, there are still a limitless amount of supernatural resources. God, we don't have the power against this great multitude. But up in verse number, verse number six, God, in your hand there is, and in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? So they weren't saying that there weren't resources to handle the battle. They were just saying this: we don't have the resources, but you do. You do. One of the ways that we can pray in faith is not because of the problem. It's not because of what we have deposited in the bank, but because of the revelation that we have of God. You look at the finances that are in your bank account, and that can be an uninspiring figure at times. And then you look at the reality of heaven, where the streets of heaven are paved with translucent gold and the gates of the city are made out of a single pearl. The foundation isn't concrete. It's all sorts of different precious stones. One of the stories that I've read about was a president of a Bible college, and he said, God, the word says that you own the cattle on 1,000 hills. We need you to sell some of those cattle because we've got a serious, serious financial need right now. And God met the serious financial need. God has supernatural resources. His power is, as God alone, is more than adequate to handle the power of the multitude. If you don't believe that, look in Revelation and you'll see that when the entire world gathers to do battle against Christ, the entire world loses and Christ comes victorious. And it's not a long drawn out battle. It's simply by the sword that comes out of his mouth, the word of God. God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Second, he says, nor do we know what to do. So not only do we not have the natural resources, but we don't even have a strategy. We are clueless as to how we are going to resolve this situation, but we know that you are the God who knows all things. You are the God who knows the matters of the heart. You know where the enemy is going to attack. You know how he's going to attack, when he's going to attack. There is in your hand the expertise to disarm and render useless every weapon that is formed against us. God, you have all of the knowledge. And let me just say this. A lot of people want to look and say, well, you should be able to praise your way through every battle. Well, the Bible does teach here that Jehoshaphat sent forth the praise team, and as they praised the Lord, there was a military victory. But that wasn't the strategy of every battle. At one point in time, David was facing the Philistines, and God gave him one strategy. And in the shortly thereafter, the Philistines had gathered again, and that time God gave him a different strategy. The thing is, man oftentimes looks for formulas where God is looking for people who will listen. Because, yes, it's true, you can praise God. There may be a different strategy for victory than just sending out the praise team. So I'm thankful that we can praise God even in the face of adversity. I'm thankful that God knows what to do when we don't know what to do. So about week 7 or 8 of my pastoring at Merit Assembly of God, I remember locking up the doors and saying, God, I feel like I have been thrust into the cockpit of an airplane that is in a nosedive, and I don't know what to do. Not knowing what to do is not a bad thing when you call upon the one who always knows what to do. And God gave us a strategy. God gave us promises. It's those promises, it's those strategies that continue to cause us to press forward. And believe God that he's going to make those promises become a reality. I remember a church, and they had had some promises that had been made decades and decades ago that said that God was going to pour out a revival on that church that would impact the nations. And it was a lot of decades later, but God did just what he said. He sent a revival that impacted the nations. So when you don't know what to do, God does know what to do. Now, this is what Jehoshaphat prays next. This is the end of verse number 12. We don't have the natural resources. We don't have the intellectual strategy. But our eyes are upon you. One of my favorite reminders to our congregation is if you're in the boat with Jesus, keep your eyes on him. And if he's not panicking in the storm, you don't have to panic in the storm. Keep your eyes on Jesus. The Bible says, fix your eyes upon Jesus. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the one who's, he's the source of our faith. He's the one that completes our faith. Faith is a gift from him. And so what we do is we look to Jesus. So I've been to a number of high school concerts and college concerts and even some concerts where adults were the performers. And I remember watching how the performers, they did two things. They watched the music that the conductor had set before them, and they also watched the conductor. The conductor was the one who was turning noise into a symphony. And so you and I, when we don't know what to do and we don't have the resources, that's the time to make sure that our vision of Jesus, our vision of what he wants us to do, say, God, we don't want to act. We don't want to retaliate against them in a bad way. If, you know, there's been some miscommunication or anything like that, we want to do what you want us to do. We want to do the right thing, even if everybody else is doing the right things. And so all of Judah with their little ones, their wives, and their children stood before the Lord. I mean, it doesn't say how long. It could have been a short time. It could have been a long time. The duration of the time is irrelevant. When you have fixed your eyes upon Jesus, you just keep watching. Revelation tells us that he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so we're not only watching, we're also listening. And at some point in time, verse number 14 happens. You see, a lot of times we read the Bible and we just read it verse to verse to verse, and we don't realize the timeline of that. You read First and Second Samuel, you read First and Second Kings and First and Second Chronicles. You can read those books in a, you know, probably an hour or two, but it covers hundreds of years. So don't really know how long the time took, but in verse number 14, it says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, 'Listen, all of you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you.'" In the midst of an enemy bearing down with the intent on destroying God's covenant people, even though they were relatives, Jehoshaphat and the people took time to seek the Lord, to pray, to remind themselves of who God is and what he is capable of, to acknowledge their limitations, but to fix their vision upon him. And they waited to find out what God had to say. You know what I don't do very well at times? Wait. I don't know if you have ever been at a traffic light and it just seemed like it went on for a year. I don't mind waiting if something is very busy. Where I struggle is where there's waiting without any purpose. But I can tell you this, waiting on God, waiting to hear what God has to say, that is never a waste of time. It's never the wrong choice. You wait until you hear what God has to say. "Thus says the Lord" is music to a believer's ear. If you are afraid to hear "Thus says the Lord," God the Holy Spirit may be trying to get something in your life in alignment. We need to value, we need to treasure hearing what God has to say. And so if we come in the midst of our challenges and we have a time of prayer, we've got to make sure that we wait around for the answer, because God has something to say in your circumstance. Your sickness does not get the last word. Jesus does. Death does not get the last word. Jesus does. Your financial problems don't get the last word. Jesus does. "Thus says the Lord" is music to your ears. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."